Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's really fucking windy outside of
here. Thank you for telling us that.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know we were.
Good morning and welcome to a recap of day, what was it, day four yesterday?
Day four, but second round. First day of Saturday.
Confusing. Anyway, welcome to the Renee Stubbs Tennis Podcast with my buddy Andrea Pekovic, and we're ready to give out a good old review of yesterday's play. Another incredible bunch of matches. Oh, my God. And some huge upsets. Some aha moments, I call them, when it comes to some 16-year-olds doing some damage on the WTA Tour. I mean, it's crazy how many. There was three 16-year-olds that were left in the draw at the Australian Open as of yesterday's. But anyway, let's start with Mira Andreeva.
Yeah.
Just absolutely smoked Ons Jabeur. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I was so impressed because I made, after she had that run in Madrid and she was on everyone's radar, so charming, so natural. We all remember the Andy Murray moment where she's like, he's so cute. Like, really, girl?
I think Andy's cute.
I also like him. But the way she said it, it was just
He's not your type. He doesn't have, like, scraggly hair or, like, he's a, you know,
I always liked him. But that was just such a charming moment. And so I made an effort to go out at the French Open in the qualies to see her there. She qualified at the French Open. And I thought, man, this girl is really good, but she doesn't have that punch, you know, because she was so solid, such a great competitive mind, great backhand, really great serve.
Really nice.
Maybe motion.
Very, very nice motion.
Yeah. The second serve is really good as well. Yeah. It's like, has a lot of kick, is fast, you can't really attack. And I was like, oh, she's really good, but she... To play, and this is, to be fair, it's not like I'm saying, oh, she can't, you know, she's not that good. She was 15. What I was saying was, like, I wonder if
she...
She
Martina Hingis at 15.
No, that's not, but I just in my mind, I was like, oh, if she plays against a Sabalenka or a Rybakina or a Swiatek, I wonder if she can hang with them because she was just lacking that punch. And so yesterday, and mind you, this is a few months later, this is not like 3 years later. Yeah. She was hitting the living daylight out of the ball.
She's gotten stronger.
I was so thrown away. I was like, what is
so thrown away or blown away?
Blown away. It's early. My English is not good. And no, I was so blown away because an improvement of this category in such short amount of time from 15 to 16 was absolutely mind-blowing. And she still had the consistency. She still had the amazing footwork. She still had the great serve. But now she can hit a winner. Yeah. Now she can... She was dominating on Jabeur.
She's so quick as well.
I mean,
she
that
ran down
incredible.
That one drop shot that Ons hit that nobody would have gotten to. Well, maybe a couple of players would have gotten to. But she hauled ass up there. And I was like, damn, this girl can move. So she was just too good. She was too creative. She was, you know, anytime... But can I just say...
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I know what you're going to say.
The Minister of Happiness.
Yes, what is going on?
Is the Minister of Misery these days. And I don't know what's going on with her. I mean, we got a little bit of an insight into, you know, what happened at Wimbledon and why she didn't want, you know, why she wanted to win so badly and have a family and all that sort of stuff. And that's all, okay, we know now. But if you're going to continue to play, you have got to find joy in what you're doing.
Mm.
You've got to have passion for what you do. And I see Ons out there, and I don't know if it's just she's got the weight of the world on her shoulders. I don't know what's going on, but she looks fucking miserable on the tennis court.
Really
and it's
sad.
Got to change.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was in her coaching box, honestly, I'd be like, if you don't show joy on the tennis court from the get-go, from the first point. I can't work with you anymore. Like, you've got to sometimes put that onus on the player because, you know, unfortunately, these coaches get paid by that player. That is their livelihood. I get it all. But you got to be to the person that says, I'm done if this doesn't change.
Well, I will say not every player needs to have joy. Like, you wouldn't see joy on my face when I was playing, or you wouldn't necessarily see joy on Serena's face. You're 100% right.
It's competitive. What I see on you and Serena is passion and competitiveness to not want to fucking lose.
Yes.
So someone like you is out there, like, you're grinding away and trying to hit winners everywhere. And it's like, oh, I see the passion of what you're trying to do. I don't see passion. I don't see anything from Ons.
Well, and I think that the problem with her are two things. One, it's not only that she looks in like a competitive manner tense, like a lot of other players do, like Djokovic, for example. She looks miserable. Yeah. So that's a big difference. Yeah. And the other thing is...
Minister of Misery.
Yeah, right now. And the other thing is with Ons, she and Carlos Alcaraz, for me, are in the category, they need to have fun and they need to play the game to play well.
Like,
not everyone is like this. Some players need to work the game to play well, but some players need to play the game to fail. And exactly, Roger, Carlos Alcaraz, Ons Jabeur. And you saw, I don't know if you saw the interview with Sasha Zverev at the French Open when he beat... actually, Francis Tiafoe is the same one. Yeah. When he beat Francis Tiafoe, he gave an interview in the German media, and they asked him, like, what was your game plan today? And he was like, honestly, just to suck out the joy of life. I did not want him to have fun. I did not want him to engage with the crowd. I did not want him to have any glimpses of joy for the game and for the occasion and for being on center court. And I think... this is exactly how you can... that's why Carlos has problems with Novak, you know, these, and against Zverev too, because these type of players, they need to feel the joy and they need to feel the crowd. And it's just this type of player that needs it. And Ons is so far away from that right now. Yeah. And I don't know why that is. What did you think of her game specifically? Do you think it's just mentally, or do you think there's also something lacking in her game?
Well,
right
I think the joy and passion for... having fun out there and competing is not there, and that affects the footwork.
Mm.
And she was horrible with the footwork. Like, the back, she missed so many backhands, just regular, easy backhands, mid-court-ish, or just inside the baseline, into the net. I was like, what the hell? Like, there was just, there was nothing there. It's not serving well, all of the things. And I know she's healthy. I mean, I spoke to her coach a couple of days ago, and she was like, you know, she's happy, she's healthy, you know, and when she's healthy, she's happy. And I'm like, well... okay, great. That was before her first round. And then as she walked on the court and I was like, she don't look happy. She still looks miserable. And that was against a girl that had never played a Grand Slam match in her life. That should have been the time for her to find her joy again, you know, to play against somebody that she knows she's going to beat if she plays half decent. Anyway, but she's out of the draw. And Mira Andreeva, on the other hand, she is without question a future top tenner. There's no question. Can she win a slam? I think so. She's 16, for fuck's sake. Yeah. I mean, honestly. So anyway... I think she's a superstar, and you know what? If Ons doesn't want to have the passion, you got a 16-year-old there going, I got it.
I'm gonna
take it.
Well, and for me, just the most mind-blowing thing is the improvement in this little of a time.
Yeah, and strong, and she's strong.
Yes.
Gotta give a shout out to Alex de Minaur, who went out there, and we talked about Arnaldi, who's your guy to watch for this year. Oh my God, I was courtside for that match. Alex de Minaur is playing fucking well.
He's like, really unlocked another level, it seems.
It's unbelievable how well he's playing. Mm. Like, he is not missing. He is going after the ball.
That's exactly it.
He's always been a backboard.
Yes, exactly.
But he's going for it.
Yes, yes. He's got a bit more pop on his serve, which makes life easier.
Yeah. So good. Like, oh, he looked great. I mean, 6-3, 6-love, 6-3. I mean, he just smoked Arnaldi. Arnaldi, on the other hand, needs my backhand volley. His backhand volley is so bad. He missed like 10 backhand volleys yesterday that were so easy. And I was like, oh, dude, you got to work on that. Change your grip, everything. Anyway.
Well, I have the best coaching for that because I didn't have a great backhand volley. Don't come to the net.
Yeah, well, that's a problem. Sabalenka beat the younger Frivatova yesterday. Frivatova, of course, got through qualifying. What is she, 15? Oh, no, she's 16.
She's 16,
Jesus
yeah.
Lord. But also, anyway, Sabalenka just smoked her. She's looking great, getting through the draw easily. Hadaj Maia won her match against Korneva. Another young player who, mm-hmm. of course, won the Australian Open Juniors last year, mm-hmm. beating Mira Andreeva. Yeah. So, you know, they're all getting through the draws and stuff, but Hadajmai was way too good. And can we talk about Novak Djokovic? Oh, my God. He was very fortunate last night to mm-hmm. not be down 2-1.
Mm.
Now, I didn't say he was very fortunate to win, because I know he would have still won, probably. But to not be down 2-1, because Alex Popperin had that set on his racket yesterday.
Love 40,
and he played the dumbest backhand down the line at 15-40. And Jim Courier said a great thing on the coverage. He said, why are you trying to hit? You don't have your kill shot mm-hmm. be the shot that's not your kill shot, mm-hmm. right? In other words, go for that shot down the line with your forehand, not with your backhand.
You mean like... Don't redline your weakness, shot. Basically. Yes.
And that's what he did. Like yesterday, he obviously panicked, you know, and tried to go for the cheap backhand down the line. I don't know why. And he missed it by quite a significant... I mean, one thing if he missed it by an inch, but he missed it by a mile. Mm. And then I think Novak is so smart and so seasoned, he probably went, oh, he's shitting himself. Mm. I've got this. And he did. He won that tiebreak 7-4. And you could tell that Novak, there's no question Novak's under the weather.
Yeah, I mean, he looks sick,
I said
right?
it the other day.
Or
when
like
I watched
he has
him,
a cold or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I watched him do a press conference a couple of days ago and I went, oh, he sounds sick.
Mm.
And everyone's like, what are you talking about? And I said, listen to him. So anyway, there's no question he's not 100%, which is why he's lucky not to go down 2-1 because the physicality of coming back from that with the Aussie crowd, like getting behind Popperin, and Popperin can play.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't give you a lot. I mean, he's got a huge serve, big forehand, but in the end... He finds a way.
He always finds a way, under the weather or over the weather. And you said something interesting to me. I came back, I had the last match of the day, and I came back at 2 a.m. And the first thing you said to me, oh my God, today was the first day that I thought Jannik Sinner is going to win this tournament.
Yeah.
Are you still standing behind this on the next morning? You know, sometimes in the middle of the night, you say things you don't really mean.
or you say things the night before if you've had too many drinks, which I had not had. But I will say, Jannik Sinner looked so good yesterday. And I know he's playing a qualifier. Okay. But he looked so good. And the freshness that he must feel going into the next rounds. And then you've got Novak, who's really struggling, but Novak's done this before. I know, mm-hmm. I know, calm down. You know, Novak I picked to win this tournament by a long shot. But then I was like, yesterday, I was like, if Alex Popperin mm-hmm. can take a set and almost two sets off of Novak, and then, you know, the five-setter in the first round, and you said it, people are starting to say, maybe I can beat him. Mm. I don't know, but to do it over five sets is a whole different story.
Yeah.
But Jannik knows he can beat Novak. He beat him twice in the space of 3 weeks last year.
Mm.
Yes, best of three, but still, I just think Jannik Sinner all of a sudden has just let everybody know, I think I could win this tournament only because Novak's not looking at his best. Long way to go, I know, but Jannik looked awesome last night. Coco Gauff got through in straight sets, but it was a battle in the first set, and Dolheid really should have won that first set.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I was calling a match at the same time. I was calling actually the Ziegemund and Storm Hunter match at that time, but I just saw that Coco was up 4-1 and 40-15 to go up 5-1, and then all of a sudden it was 5-all.
And
so
and it really could have flipped, and Caroline had an opportunity to win that first set. But
how does Coco look like to you play-wise?
Scratchy.
Yeah.
Forehand scratchy. Mm-hmm. Serve is okay. Backhand is... As always, second to
so
none.
So you not the U.S. series Coco Gauff or...
Not the Washington Coco Gauff.
Okay.
That I saw, and not the Cincinnati so much.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. It doesn't matter because she's winning. And Coco has said often, you know, in the post-match interviews, including with me, she said, I know I'm winning with my game B.
Yeah.
And that is huge, as you know, Petco. Like, if you're not at your best and you're still winning, that it kind of feels good that you're getting through knowing that. And the more and deeper into the tournament she goes, she's only going to get better. And her draw is pretty good. You know what I mean? So I think she's going to face these types of players, and I think she's going to find a way to win. And then once she gets in the semis and finals, then we're going to see where she's really at, because she will play Sabalenka if Sabalenka gets to the semifinals.
Well, just one word on the Tsitsipas Thompson, because I called a possible upset there. I was wrong. I admit it. Shame on me. Shame.
Shame. I did too. I thought that Jordan could win that match. And
he kind of choked, I have to say.
He did choke.
It felt like he thought too that he could win, and he just...
Oh, that second set, 8-6 in the tiebreak.
But
that
I have
was
to
huge.
Say, yes. But I have to say one thing. the third set, that's Steph 1-6-2. He was playing so good. And when you watch him at his best, you're like, how is this guy not a consistent top three for the past 5 years? He is so good. The way he moves up to his forehand and takes the balls on the rise. Yes, the backhand is dodgy, okay. But when he's confident, he hits through it. He plays the slice. And he's the guy right now who plays the best at the net. He's so good at the net.
Yeah, he is.
He's so good. No, and that would be the extra. He is, but he's not. It's not part of his game. But he can do it when he needs to. We saw it against Medvedev because he knows he is not going to play 500 times back and forth.
Yeah.
So he has to come forward, and he did it. But with Steph, it's part of his game. And that's what's so beautiful to see. And that could be, and you know how every player has to have a baseline, but to be a champion, you need something extra. And I feel like Steph's extra could be that net play if he just got everything else under control. But I think that net play could be the little bit of extra to win big tournaments and be a champion.
When you want to come into the net and win matches from there, you have to be calm. You have to be calm. Yes. You have to be calm.
You can't
see the ball and to have the finesse to hit the right volley with the hands or the knifing it. And so I think his anxiety, and he has anxiety out there, you see it, and he walks faster, he walks slower, and the dad's yelling at him. It's like, oh my God, there's so much anxiety when I watch him play. If he has that, he's not going to win against the Novaks, et cetera, because they're going to make him play one more volley.
Yes. Well, and just a little side for the Steph fans, he went back to his old serve. So in case anyone was wondering what in the living hell was going on, he went back to his old serve.
Yeah, but I saw him bring his foot up for a second serve yesterday.
Yes, me too, a few times on the second serve. But on the first serve, he was back to the old one.
What the fuck? Anyway, Avanesyan, you called that match against Maria Sakkari. Sakkari just sucks in Grand Slams. What is happening?
I will say Avanesyan is a very, very dangerous player. See, she is a counter puncher. She takes the ball up the line so seamlessly. And Maria, and similar to Steph, honestly, because she has so much anxiety, she just couldn't see those down the lines. Like, we would call them, and it's always easy from the booth, you know? There is nothing to lose. But we would see her teeing up for, like, oh, she's every time she had a short one, she would go up the line. And Maria was always caught off guard. And then another thing, game plan-wise, she's not good. And I think it's not because she's not good in general. I think it's because she loses clarity when she panics. And the thing was, she was hitting the ball okay. She didn't play a terrible match, but she was hitting everything through the court. She never opened up angles. And Avanesyan loves to move
side to side.
The moment Sakkari managed to hit a bit of a spin where she had to move out or hit a bit of an angle where she moved in. The moment Avanesyan had to leave that perfect line for her,
trouble.
She either got an unforced error or she got a short one that she could attack. But she just hit through the court. And then, of course, it seems like your opponent is playing the best tennis of her life because you're playing right into her strength. And this lack of clarity is just something she needs to solve if she wants to play well at majors again.
She's not going to have lack of, she's going to have continued lack of clarity because she loses her shit, you know, and she's like yelling at Tom, like, Tom, stop, just stop, just, I mean, I'm like, what is going on? You cannot be yelling at your coach on the sideline from your chair. I mean, it's one thing if you're down close to him on the baseline, like we see Rybakina sometimes yell at Spray at her coach, like, okay, shut the hell up. Mm. Like, that's sort of not normal, not good, but you understand.
Yeah.
But she's at her chair yelling all the way over the other side of the court, down the other end to tell her coach to shut up.
Mm.
Like, girl.
Yeah.
You either got to get a new coach in a whole new coaching team, because I can tell you right now, if I was coaching her, I'd get the fuck up and walk out. Because I'm like, I'm sorry. These are the things that I'm telling you need to get better at. I think she needs to slice her backhand a lot more. I think she can do it, but she has to improve it. Because when you go slice down the line, there's so many ways that she can actually improve and use her athleticism. Talk about coming into the net. She should be coming into the net a little bit more. Using your speed, using your athletic ability. So a lot of girls don't like to come into the net too because, well, first of all, they can't volley. But also they don't want to get lobbed. You know, a lot of girls don't move well back for a lob. She can move.
Mm.
So, you know, there's so many little nuances and make the clarity clear to her on the court how to play a match. And if you can't then tell her, for example, watch the balls down the line in a clarity way and in a calm way and a non-toxic way, it's never going to change. Well, and you have the opportunity to do that now. You could have her come over and be like, listen, you're playing great. when she has an easy ball, just cover the line, okay? And then you go, okay, you take it in, and then you go play. But when she's so hectic and telling you to shut the fuck up, it's never going to work.
Yeah. Well, I will say for her that she, as I mentioned before, she didn't play terrible. Her shots were okay. Like, she was... She didn't really get through with the serve, but that again is the same thing. Yeah. In the end, she did it better. She started serving that slice wide a bit more, but she was hitting the ball really well, like strong and hard and serving 180 Ks an hour. But as I said, the girl stands far behind, so it was all into her strength. And that's what I mean. Serena is now a bad example because she's the best of all time on the women's side that we had. But I think maybe Coco is a good example, right? She's good in adapting. She's good in I'm not playing, this is not working, let's try something else. Let's try and play Maria the ball high. And Maria just sticks with her thing. And then I think to her it felt yesterday like the other girl was playing the match of her life. And to a certain extent she was, but Maria didn't see that she had a lot of tools in her bag because she was not hitting the ball. You know, sometimes you see somebody's not feeling the ball.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing you can do. You can maybe run and put the ball in and hope the other one sacrifices herself. That's what you can do. But she was feeling the ball well. You could see that she was feeling good about her tennis. It was just that she felt like she couldn't hit through the girl and she had no other way to beat her.
She made so many unforced errors on basic shots, though, towards the end when the girl was starting to shit herself.
Right, but it was always like the 12th shot, right? It's not like
she missed a couple of returns of serve.
That was terrible. That was terrible.
The girl's serving and she's like missing the return. I'm like, at 30 all to break back. Like, that's shit.
That is bad. And also, that's what we kept saying that in the booth. The girl, like, she has a great game, but the one weakness in her game is her serve. She was serving 140 Ks an hour.
Come on.
First serve.
Yeah.
That is 75 miles an
as
hour.
As a professional tennis player.
Yes. And Maria and this just comes to tell you like how stuck in her ways she gets, because Maria almost up until the end returned on her same normal return position that she has when she plays a Rybakina that serves 200 miles an hour, you know? And so... You have to make adjustments. The other, just because it's a first serve doesn't mean it's good. Nick Lester, who I called the match with, said it's just a point starter. That was such a great phrase, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
The girl wants to run, get into the long rally, and then take your pace and move it up the line. That's her game. That's her whole thing. And Maria gave her exactly that over and over and over again.
Yeah, well, if you can't think clearly, I mean, you know my rule, my three C's. Composure, okay? If you have composure... You can have clarity, and when you have clarity, then you have to have commitment. The three C's. That's the bottom line, and she doesn't have the three C's, and that's going to cost her going forward.
And now, Renee, can you take the Ben Shelton one by your own? Because I have to get ready. I have to go.
Oh, come on. Ben Shelton looked a little bit up and down. You can do this. I want to talk about Tim of Fever.
Oh,
that
was a great
upset over Wozniacki. Wozniacki was upset and too love. But Timofeeva was in the match.
Yes.
She just didn't know it because she's so young and inexperienced. She was losing her mind at her coach. She was telling him this and that, back chatting in the first set. And I was like, this girl is in almost every game.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's bitching and complaining only because she's young and inexperienced. And then you could see her maybe at two love just go, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
Just stop complaining. And she managed to get back into the match. And in the third set, she was by far the better player.
Yeah.
She out-hit Wozniacki. She was as patient as Wozniacki.
She was incredible.
Oh my God. She was serving well. Like, this kid came to play in the end, and at 20 years of age, to beat Wozniacki the way she did coming back and getting through qualifying now. This is five matches that she's played. She's a good player.
She reminds me
a little bit of Putintseva.
She's the same like Putintseva.
I mean, literally same body type.
More on it on the forehand side because Putintseva likes to kind of spin it. But I called her match against Cornet, her first round match. I called that. And somebody said to me, oh, man, there are so many young kids who are now in the second round. I don't even know them. And I was like, this Timofeeva, she can play. She's really good.
The one thing that every person that I spoke to talked to about her, because I was doing the match, I wanted to know a little bit more about her. They're like, oh, she's a fighter.
Yeah.
Hello. That's what we thought. Locker room reputation follows you everywhere. And hers is she's a fighter. And she showed it yesterday. Yeah. Ben Shelton looked awesome. Alicia Parks, upset over Leila Fernandez.
That is a great
Alicia
result.
Now will play Coco Gauff, the two young Americans
going at it. Alicia Parks and Coco Gauff have the two fastest serve in the tournament as of now on the women's side.
I can tell you, Alicia Parks was one of Serena's hitting partners before the US Open, in her last US Open, and she was fucking clocking the serve so big. I looked at Serena. Serena's like, where the hell is this girl from? Because she was serving harder than Serena.
Where is she from?
She's from Florida, okay. I think, I believe. But anyway.
What do they grow there that you can serve like this? I should have grown up in Florida.
I know, you should have. Rublev looked great against Eubanks, and he's looking great. Taylor Fritz looked great yesterday. And Francis Tiafoe, of all the Americans, is out to Machak. Is that how you say it?
Machak, I think.
Machak.
And
I
you
mean,
know,
Francis
funny, Machak,
so
Machak is a man cat in Serbian. I don't know if it's the same in Czech, but that would be
he's
really
a man cat.
He's
well,
a man cat. A male cat.
He was not a, you know what, yesterday he played way too
he
good.
He was a male
he
cat.
So
he was not
good.
A small cat. He was a man
he
cat.
He was a man cat.
But
he looked terrible.
I will just say one.
Lost.
I will say one thing before I really have to get ready. Similar to Anjabeur. Doesn't look as joyous on court anymore. Doesn't look like he's enjoying playing the game anymore. And I don't know what it is. Do you know?
Maybe not winning anymore. I don't know. I don't know what's going on
but
in
do
his
you
life.
See
life.
It the
yes,
same
I
that
do.
He doesn't just look as happy to be on court? Well, you know how entertaining he is and how charismatic?
Yeah.
I feel like some of the charisma has gone. Not like all of it. You still love to watch him and you still see him in the hallway laughing. But it just seems like something is burdening him a little bit
it's
more.
It's called that's what I think it is. But anyway, Taylor looked great. And I just want to throw out a Marta Kostyuk played an unreal match yesterday, won 10-6 in the third set tiebreak against Mertens. That was great to see. And Caroline Garcia just proved once again why she can't be a top 10 player for more than 2 months. Plays the match of her life against Naomi Osaka, serves out of her fucking mind like she's Serena Williams, goes out and loses to Freck from Poland, who is a decent player.
She's a decent player.
But
she
really?
Too, yeah, she too is a counterpuncher, so she uses the pace of Garcia, but she got broken so many times, and girlfriend was serving 20 aces against Naomi Osaka, 14 or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and Naomi
sets.
Is not a bad returner.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. Paula Badosa looked great. She
very
smoked
good.
Pavlyuchenkova. Mm. 2 and 3. It's nice to see Paula back.
Yeah, very
I mean,
good.
And that's a great win. Seb Korda again and Amanda Anisimova. Yeah. I just want to throw that name out there because no one is talking about her. Look, she needs to get fitter.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'd be the first to say that. Mm. She needs more matches. But fuck me, I tell you, is there a girl that hits the ball more pure?
I know, I mean,
it's unreal.
I played, I'm just going to tell the story, and then I really have to go, as I've been saying this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I lost the worst set I ever lost to somebody where I really thought I was playing okay and had no chance was against Amanda Anisimova in Bad Homburg on grass, which is her best surface, arguably. And I was playing really well, I thought. And I lost 6-1, and the one game, I was lucky to hold serve. And the winners were just zinging past me like, roop, roop, roop. And I was almost crying. I never cry during matches. I cry after matches all the time. But I never cry. I was almost crying because I didn't know what to do. Needless to say, a year later, I retired. Because I was like, this new breed of players, this is not for me.
Are you the one that put her into semi-retirement for 6 months? But I think it's great what she did. She went away from the game because she wasn't happy, like Anjabeur probably needs to do. And she found her joy again. I mean, before you go, before she served out the match the other day, she started smiling because the crowd were going crazy.
Nice.
And she was just like, oh, this feels great.
And
I talked
really
to her about it.
And she doesn't smile
And she was just like,
matches.
Started laughing. And then she said, oh, girl, get it together. Like, what if you lose this point and lose the match, you know? But to see the joy on her face when she went to serve for the match the other day, not the second round, it was the first round, was against Samsonova, was unbelievable. And it was so nice, you know, to see a young kid who's kind of gone through a little bit up and down, lost her father.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that enough and how much that would have affected her. To come back out now and be playing the tennis she is, I'm so happy that she's back. Because she, to me, I said years ago when she was doing well, she can win a Grand Slam.
Mm.
There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, all right, guys, that's a wrap up. I know there's a lot more matches. Khachanov won, Echeverry won, Krejcikova won. It's all looking good. We cannot wait for today's play because Iga Świątek is back on the court today against, just Danielle Collins.
She has the tough draw,
I mean,
man.
Goddamn, she has some unbelievably tough draws over the last couple of years. But anyway, there's so much more on the cards. We'll see what happens. Thanks for joining us today.
And
hey.
See you tomorrow.
How do you say that?
Listen to you tomorrow.
Bis morgen.
Bis morgen. Tschüss.
Tschüss. Bye, guys. Thanks again.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.